Go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're going to read verses 10 through 15. I'll read verse 10. You read verse 11 with me. And Luke chapter 17, verse number 10. Luke 17 and verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege of getting to be in church. Lord, please help us. This topic is so basic, but Lord, it's so important. So please stir our hearts and remind us of our basic need to thank and praise you. Bless your word to our hearts, and Lord, we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a large ship, and it sank, and this story is told that there was a man who exhausted himself as the ship was sinking, and he saved 17 people one at a time as the ship was sinking. In the hospital afterwards, they asked the man, why did you keep trying to get people out of the water? He said, I had to get one more. At the end of this man's life, he reported that not one of those 17 people ever wrote him and thanked him for pulling them out of the water. If you think how dangerous it is, it's hard enough going into the water after somebody that's drowning. If you're not experienced, they can kill you also in their panic. When you're dealing with a ship that is going down and you're swimming over it, the pull of the ship can pull you under, let alone. So the risk was great that he took, yet he was used to save 17 lives. A poll that was done in the 80s across America among many lost people revealed that the most obvious sin committed in America was ingratitude. I think it's because we have so much, we almost get to expect it. We almost think we deserve it. The poll was an observation. It was not Christians or churches. It was just people. Can I tell you tonight, if you attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you're more blessed than over half of the earth's population of 7 billion people. If you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, and a roof overhead, and a place to sleep tonight, you're richer than 75% of the world. If you have any money in the bank, in your wallet, or in a spare dish, changing a dish someplace in your house, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million people who will not survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or pangs of starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people in the world. I can truly say, I know what it's like to fast. I know what it's like to miss a meal because I want to pray. I've never starved. I've never been in want of food to where my body would consume itself if I didn't eat. I can truly say that's never happened to me. If your parents are still alive and still married, you are very rare, even in the United States. If you hold up your head with a smile on your face and you're truly thankful, you're blessed because the majority can. But most people don't. Most people don't. If the topic I'm preaching on was preached once a month, it wouldn't be too much. being thankful. 10% of every crowd complains because of the temperature. It's always too cold or too hot in here. And look, I can't keep this. I cannot keep the auditorium like a nursing home. You know what I mean? If I did, I'd probably be falling asleep. Take your Bible. You can't do that. You say, well, it's cold in church. I've been taught since I was at Bible college, you do whatever you have to do. I watched Brother Hiles do it. It's supposed to be what I watched Brother Hiles do in an auditorium of 6,000 people, 68 degrees, always. Winter, summer, spring, fall. He was always tweaking it. Always. But it had to stay. That's just what I've been taught. You say 68 degrees. You say, I don't know if that's right or wrong. It's just what I was taught. And so there'll always be people that are in church. Oh, it's freezing in here. Well, what are you wearing a sleeveless shirt for in church? Amen. You're going to have to, you know what I mean? So as far as I don't think you need to be, you know, have an Eskimo hood on either, you know, with a circle and, you know, all of that. But I work at keeping it 68 degrees. I've learned this. You can't make everybody happy. Somebody's going to complain. We're so prone to the negative and criticizing. Take your Bible and let me show you this. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. If the only reason you complain and gripe is because you don't work at being thankful like you're supposed to, and God says, instead of griping, but rather be thankful. We're not supposed to be overcome of evil, but we're supposed to overcome evil with good, right? Romans 12:21. So watch what God does in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 28. Ready? Did I tell you chapter 5? We'll go there, but Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, and then we'll go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. God says, if you want to stop your stealing, it's because you have too much free time on your hand. Get to work, earn some money so that you can give things away, and you'll quit stealing. But rather, notice the words, but rather labor. Get to work. You're a lazy dog. That's why you steal. Look at chapter 5. Watch this. Verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then he's going to go into these negative topics. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Notice the semicolon. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. You ever been around people, everything's a sexual innuendo? Everything's got a perverted slant to it. And it doesn't have to be that way. God says, instead of talking in filthiness and jesting, look at the next phrase, but rather giving of thanks. You want to overcome your filthy mouth? The only reason you do that is because you don't work at praising God like you should. And if you would but rather give thanks, it takes the place of the filthy talk and the innuendos and the perverted things that don't need to be said and word pictures that don't need to be drawn. But rather give thanks. If we would thank God more, watch this. Isn't this a wonderful thought? If you would focus more on doing what you're supposed to do, you would do less of what you're not supposed to. If you would work at being thankful, and trust me, you have to work at it. If you would work at thanking God, when you walk, thank you, Lord, I'm not in a wheelchair, right? Thank you, Lord, I can see. I may have glasses, but praise the Lord, I can see. Thank you, Lord. You have to make yourself do that. But rather giving of thanks. Notice it one more time in chapter 5. Look at verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather instead reprove them, correct them. If you would work at seeing the sin as it is, That's a beer truck. That's a wicked thing. Reprove it. In other words, when you see evil, speak against it, and doing that good replaces the evil there. So, but rather, I thought that was interesting. And tonight, if you complain, it's because you don't work at being thankful. Jesus starts this portion of scripture that we looked at. Go back to Luke 17 and watch this. Luke chapter 17. Jesus starts this portion of scripture with the answer to unthankfulness. Okay? Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 10. This verse has meant so much to me since I've been saved. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. Wow, you're in church on a Sunday night. Wow, you're in church on a Wednesday night. Wow, you go soul winning on Saturday. Wow, you. I'm just an unprofitable servant. I'm just doing what I was commanded to do. God is none the holier because of my righteous living. I benefit because that's how he designed it. But if I don't go soul winning and if I want to stay home from church and I want to disobey God, God is none the less holier. I am an unprofitable servant. A lot of people say, well, I've done this, this, and this, so therefore I get to sin. That takes your gratitude away. You expect, well, see, I've earned the right to do wrong because I've done these things, and God says that is an unhealthy way to think. We are unprofitable servants. All we've done is what we were told. What a verse. You could take that and just meditate on it and think about it. But, oh, you've done this and you've gotten to... I'm an unprofitable servant. What a verse. Now, Jesus starts that, verse 10, and then in verse 11, he goes into the story of the lepers. Before you, just to help you understand, leprosy is a disease where you rot from the inside out. Eventually, if you don't do anything about leprosy, yes, the nose falls off, the ears falls off, the digits fall off, but literally the bones collapse into a pile of flesh. The body just gives way. It is a nasty death. It is a nasty disease. We don't deal with it here in America, but 10 lepers come to Jesus, and if you had leprosy, leprosy back then was feared like cancer is today. All right? If you had leprosy, you were no longer allowed to see your family. You had to live outside of the city. You waved at your wife. You waved at your kids. You could never hug them again because the disease was so contagious. So 10 lepers, Jesus is on the outside of a city. These 10 lepers come to him. Wherever they walk, anytime there's people around, they had to cover their mouth and say, unclean, unclean, unclean. In other words, I have a disease. COVID, COVID, COVID. Yeah, a little bit like wearing a mask, okay? And the foolishness of that. Okay, these 10 lepers, look at verse 13. Ready? And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went there, he didn't even say, do you have enough faith? You're made well. Do you have enough? He didn't even do that. He just said, the moment they cry out to him, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. Because you couldn't go back into the city until the priest said, you no longer have leprosy. They're still in the Old Testament. So he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And can you imagine as they're walking back to the priests, there's blotches of white rotting skin all over you. That's what leprosy is. It's rotting. You smell like dead flesh. And can you imagine as they're walking back, all 10 of them, their skin starts turning normal color again. And they're walking. Hey, I'm getting better. I'm not limping anymore. Your face is all cleared up. They're all looking at each other, going back, and then it says they saw that they were cleansed. I don't have leprosy anymore. I'm not rotting flesh anymore. And can you imagine, as they went back to the priest, them saying, he healed me. I can see my kids. I can go see my wife. He didn't just heal their body. He restored their life. He gave them their life back. Can you imagine 10 people? Better. Then notice verse number 16. Well, watch this, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks, giving Jesus thanks. And he was a Samaritan. What's a Samaritan? It's a half Asian, half Jew. It's what we, you know, what people call a half breed. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? I think that's one of the most amazing questions, Jesus. I know I healed 10 people, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. The rest of them, that's Jesus saying, the rest of them are full-blooded Jews. And they didn't return and give thanks. Only one. And this is the outcast. Nobody to say thank you. After all of you get your life back and your family and your job, life is no return to give thanks. Isn't that our human nature? Isn't that our human nature? Did you know you only thank when you feel you don't deserve it? If you feel you deserve it, well, sure. Yeah, he gave me $10 because I deserved it. No thank you. No gratitude. Thanking and praising the Lord is not natural. It's something you have to make yourself do. You're supposed to praise the Lord whether you feel like it or not. You can get yourself, okay, no one has to mentally prepare themselves for the best so you can still praise the Lord. You're supposed to get yourself mentally where you're supposed to be praising the Lord and thankful. That way, when tragedies happen, you have a way to get yourself back under control. Take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I know that there's a lot of society that we could point to, the rioting, the looting. How can people do that? The only reason they'd tear down a statue is because they weren't taught what the person did. Well, they deserve it. They gave us our founding documents. The greatest documents that have ever been penned for freedom in the history of mankind. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. Did they do everything right? Absolutely not. But can we learn from the right that they did? We better. There is no documents like what God used them to pen. Amen? To give us our country. Here we go. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous or physically dangerous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. If you stop right there, have you ever seen a generation more stuck on themselves with their selfies and their iPhones and their iPads? Everything is around image. Hey, I took a picture of my phone, adjusted it. They go into the plastic surgeons. It's driving them crazy. I want my face to look like this. The plastic surgeons in America in the past 5 years have said it is way out of hand. Oh, I took this picture. You know, you can make your cheekbones higher. You can make your eyes bigger. You can do all that. That's the way I want to look. I don't like the way God made me. I want to look that way. Have you ever seen a generation more stuck on themselves? Lovers of their own selves. God says one of the traits would be unthankful. How can you go to school for 4 years and expect the government to pay for it? Ever since I've been this big, you go to school, you save up for college, you get a job at McDonald's, you don't work there for the rest of your life. That's why $15 an hour minimum wage is so foolish. So you're going to work at Burger King for your whole life. Really? Okay. You're going to say, welcome to Burger King. May I take your order for the rest of your life? Fast food restaurants were all designed when I was growing up for teenagers and college-age students to earn their way through college. It was never intended for you to stay. Never. We want $15 an hour. You're an idiot. That's not going to do anything. What we're watching happen in society, no, I want my college free. My dad taught me there are no free lunches. If you ever get anything for free, somebody else had to pay for it. If you ever get anything for free, you owe somebody a thank you. Because there's nothing that's free in life. But this generation, we want universal base income, and we want our college paid for, and we want, what a boy, if this does not come to, we see this. It says here, look at verse 5, having a form of godliness. Remember what a form is. A form is the outward appearance, but it is empty and hollow on the inside. Nothing there. It has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. And God says, from those type people, turn away. Don't have anything to do with them. God is a tool for their success. They are not a tool for God's purpose. Totally different way they think about God. Tonight, thankfulness starts with humility. Humility is your attitude towards God. Meekness is your attitude towards each other. If you're meek, that means I don't look up to anybody and I don't look down to anybody. If I'm meek, I look at everybody on the level and I treat you, everybody, the same. If I'm humble, that means my attitude is towards God. Humility is towards God. It's not towards each other. Did you know when somebody is a respecter of persons, they're proud? Humble people are thankful for those who've invested in them. Every one of us is largely the product of the influence of other people. My expressions come from my dad. My attitude towards life comes from the men God has put in my life. My Uncle Roger, my Uncle Bob. Then I got saved at age 20. I am the product of Gene Johnson, who taught me soul winning. I am the product of a Wendell Evans who taught me song leading. I am the sum total of what people have given me. There's nothing I do that is Greg Nash. Greg Nash is the sum total of about 50 people that God has blessed me to be around and God's let put into me. But there's nothing of myself. I've had some wonderful teachers. I've had some wonderful soul-winning help. I've had some wonderful Christians to be around, and I'm thankful for that. But they've invested in me, and I'm nothing of myself. Can I remind you of something? When was the last time you thanked the Lord for the person that led you to Christ? When was the last time you thanked the Lord for somebody that helped you learn the Bible? Somebody that helped you with your children? Somebody that helped you? Gratitude says, wow, God put them in my life. Thank you, Lord. But there's nothing I have of myself. Humility is what begins thankfulness. Short-sighted and self-centered is the person who doesn't regularly recognize the contributions others have made to his life, his success, and his stature. Can I just tell you, tonight, I don't care how old you are, you owe a debt to your parents. Opposite of this generation, okay? There's a generation that is now suing their parents for how they raised them. Really? So they're turning 19 and they go, you know, I don't think I was raised right. I'm going to sue my mom and dad. How stupid is that? What do you tell a kid like that? Dad, you didn't raise me right. Well, come on back in for another 18 years. We'll give it another try. How stupid is that? Well, deal with it. Look, my dad did things that I was supposed to learn from, and my dad taught me things not to do. I'm supposed to learn from his negative and his positive. I'm not supposed to criticize my dad. Yeah, my dad had flaws. Yeah, he didn't do everything right. But I'm thankful for the things he gave me and the lessons that he taught me. Everybody is a lesson to you on what to do or what not to do. So quit your griping about what they did wrong and learn from it. Well, okay, if I'm ever in charge of somebody, I'm not going to act like that. Amen? And be thankful for what you've learned. I've always felt like I owed my dad. I've always felt like I've owed my mother. My mom taught me to read when I was 4. I remember just barely being in the trailer court, and she'd be sitting there on the couch, and she'd be working the phonics cards. Just like this. She'd say, say it. Say it. There's a lot of people that read better than me, but I can rip through books. I can, that's my mom teaching me. I remember when I'd come in from the newspaper route, I'd get home from school at age 12, and my stack of newspapers are there, put them half in this bag, half in this bag, sling this over, and I'd start my 3-mile bus, paper route. Remember doing it in Michigan snow, 4 foot deep. I'd get back in, my toes would be frozen, everything frozen. Mom would say, take your bags off, here, take your coat off. And then Mom would say, come over here, I'm going to warm your feet up. You know what Mom would do? She'd say, sit right here, and then Mom would sit on my feet. That's my memories. That's my memories. And I remember sitting there going, oh, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. She's sitting right there on my feet. They were so cold, I couldn't feel nothing. Then the feeling would start to come back into them. I'm just saying I'm the sum total of what people are. Thank you, Mom. I'm the sum total of what people have invested in me. You're the sum total. I never rebelled against my parents. You can ask them. I never rebelled in high school. My dad will say, I'm so thankful you never fought me. If I told you no, you did it. And you didn't do it. I owe a debt to a pastor, Rodney Padat. I owe a debt to a Jim Hart who picked me up for church in the Marine Corps. I owe a debt to a Gene Johnson who taught me soul winning. I owe a debt to a pastor, Jeff Owens, who invested in me as a college student. I owe a debt. And when, okay, the person that took you through the Bible and showed you how to be saved, you need to be thankful for. Gratitude acquired should be gratitude kept. One thank you is never enough. You should continue to say thank you. Look, friendships are lost because gratitude is lost. You started taking them for granted, and then you quit saying thank you. The pastor, okay, it's amazing. The pastor can say 100 things that helps you, but if he mentions one thing that hurts you, it's curtains and you're out of here. Be careful. Don't lose your gratitude. I would think it'd be better to leave a church if I wasn't convicted than never pushed. Amen. The pastor's preaching, I think, should convict you. Acts chapter 4, verse 20, it says, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I was invested in by some wonderful people, and guess what? It's going to come out. I cannot help but speak the things that I have seen and heard. That tells me this, you need to be careful with whom you run and who you spend time with, because you're going to speak what you've seen and heard. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you look at. Be careful of the jokes you listen to. The foundation of gratitude is the expectation of nothing. A man that is without gratitude or thankfulness is well nigh hopeless. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say that. If you don't have any thankfulness in your heart, you're useless. You're a useless human being. There's no hope for you. You mean there's nothing you can be thankful for, nothing you can thank God for. A little bit like the generation we're living in today. You should have the attitude, though you're a debtor to all men, nobody owes you anything. I owe other people if I see a need, but nobody owes me anything. Nobody owes me anything. If one expects nothing, then anything is a bonus. If one expects more, then you're disappointed. If one expects less, he's grateful even though he received the same thing. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 103 and watch this. Psalm 103, Psalm 103, and look at verse 10. I know we read Psalm 103 this morning at the start of the service. We read Psalm 104 tonight, but Psalm 103, look at verse 10. I wish you'd mark this and just praise God for it. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What a verse. Would you like to know a key part of being thankful? To realize you deserve hell. If you got what you deserve, God has not dealt with me after my sins. God has not spanked me for everything I've done wrong. He's been merciful to me. If I got what I deserve, I'd be directly in hell right now. If you got what you deserved, you'd be in hell forever, burning. He hath not dealt with us after our iniquities. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. I think having that, when people say, I deserve better than this. No, you don't. You deserve hell. Your thinking's all messed up. That's why your view on life is so messed up. Everybody owes you, and you're an ingrate. And guess what? You're miserable. You're miserable because everybody owes you. Well, I don't deserve to be treated like this. No, you're right. You deserve to burn in hell. What do you deserve? Can you take your Bible tonight and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18? That little phrase right there, you deserve a burning hell, and you need to be grateful God saved you. That'll take you so far. That means tomorrow if my car breaks down in the rain, or I find myself in the hospital with a stroke or whatever, and life happens like I didn't expect it, God's still been good. I can handle anything. If you get anything above hell, you have a lot to praise God for. Amen? Especially when you realize, I deserve a burning hell. I don't deserve life. God's been good to me. I have a lot to praise the Lord for. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks. And then I wish you'd just notice this. For this, giving thanks, is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What a verse in your Bible. You want to know what God's will is for you tomorrow? To praise God and thank Him for what He's done. You know what God's will for you is Tuesday? To praise God and thank Him for what He's done. That's the will of God for your life and mine. God's will is that in everything you thank Him. Isn't it beautiful that He doesn't say for everything? There's a reason. I don't think you're supposed to thank God for the car wreck. I don't think you're supposed to thank the Lord for the miscarriage. But when something happens that you can't thank God for like that, you can still thank God in it. In the car wreck, you could thank God, Lord, I don't know why this is happening, but I know You know what's best. So thank You, Lord. When you're in the hospital, Lord, I can't thank You for this, but I can thank You in it. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. What a verse. If that's the only verse we looked at tonight, now go home and live it. Amen? It's God's will that you get up every morning and thank God for your salvation. It's God's will that you get up every morning and thank Him for life. I can breathe. I've got it good. I'm blessed. I ain't got no problems. Really, I don't. Really, I don't. I'm blessed. This is the will of God concerning you. Brother Roloff used to say, praise is a lubricant. It helps everything go smoother. We had a man that my wife and I helped at the ranch in Missouri when I got out of Bible college, and he just had a way about him. Every time he'd hit his thumb or trip over something, or any time bad news came, his response was the same. He'd go, that's praise God type stuff. And I would watch him, and he came to help us at the ranch, and I just thought, he praises God every time something bad. Well, that's praise God type stuff. And I picked up on that. Do you remember that, hon? And I just remember thinking, I'd like to be like that. When I get frustrated and when I get angry, it would really help if I just go ahead and praise God instead of thinking, I deserve better than this. I can't believe this is happening. Straighten up and praise God. Amen. Why don't you just thank the Lord? That's praise God type stuff. That statement has stuck with me for a long time. Praise is a lubricant. It helps life go smoother. Just praise the Lord whether you feel like it or not. Every gift you have should remind you to thank the Lord for the person who gave it to you. A gift is an altar where the giver is remembered. Brother Hollinger bought me my shoes last Christmas. Every time I put them on, this is a gift somebody gave me, and I thank the Lord for him. Someone gave me the shirt. Someone bought me the belt. I thank the Lord for the person God touched their heart to give what I have. When you look at things, you either feel like you deserve them or you can thank the Lord for the person who gave them to you. The first van was given to us by somebody in the church. God touched their heart. This is back in Tennessee. When we'd get in the van, I'd say, thank you, Lord. Look what God did. God provided this through so-and-so. The church gave my wife a dishwasher for the house. It's a gift. Every time we see it, every time we use it for our family, Lord, thank you for their kindness. Thank you. I'll say it again. The gift is an altar where the giver is remembered, and you thank the Lord for them. The church bought me my glasses. I'm blind as a bat without them. I can't make out anything without my glasses. These are the nicest pair of glasses I've ever had in my life. I've had them now for 3 years. I'm amazed at them. I never thought I'd have hearing aids. $6,000. The type of money I don't deal with. I know nothing about it. My dad said, son, you're a pastor. You need hearing aids. You deal with people all the time. Get the hearing aids. I said, Dad, I can't afford those. He said, I'll pay for half of them. Then I went down to the VA and I found out, wow, they gave them to me. $6,000. Every time I put them on the morning, I say, thank you, Lord. I couldn't afford that. This morning I did it. I do it every morning. Put them in and I just, thank you, Lord. I can lead songs with them. I'll never forget after I sang the special 4 years ago, I hit flats, about three flats, and my wife came to me. She said, hon, she said the song was a bomb. She said, you went flat three times. And my wife's honest with me, and it's good. And I said, my singing days are over. You can't hear yourself sing. You go flat. That's why you go flat. I went down to the VA. Got the hearing aids. I can sing now. I shouldn't be able to. Amen. I'm just telling you something. I don't want to lose my gratitude. I don't want to lose my thankfulness. Appreciate Brother Watson. He came up to me after he found out the VA gave them to me. He said, so I helped buy your hearing aids. I said, I never thought about it, but that's true. So thank you, Brother Tom, for my hearing aids. I don't want to lose my gratitude. Amen. Whatever God gives you, you need to be saying thank you. And you need to cultivate that. Unthankfulness is a very dangerous trait. Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 1 and watch this. Romans chapter 1. Unthankfulness is very dangerous in a Christian's life. And I wish you'd think about this. Romans chapter 1. Watch very closely. We're going to start at verse 18 and verse 21 is what I want you to see. Ready? For the wrath of God, Romans 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Verse 20, what a verse. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's us. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What a verse. Notice verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I wish you'd underline the words, neither were thankful in verse 21, and I'll tell you why. Because that's where all reprobate lives start. They knew God, but they wouldn't glorify God. Boy, they'll get excited at a baseball game, at a basketball game, but they'd never say amen in church. That's just too extreme. You won't glorify God because you're not thankful. And you start down a path, a stair step to a reprobate life. When you read the rest of it, look what follows. Look at verse 22. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. When you lose your thankfulness, you start that downward trend. Education becomes your God. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. Idolatry gets in your life. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up. Look at verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up. Look at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And you can follow all this yourself in Romans. I call it the staircase to hell. A reprobate is made. A homosexual is made. They are not born. And it begins with verse 21. Neither were thankful. Because they would not glorify God. You get excited about something, would you allow yourself to get excited about the things of the Lord and glorify God? Because when they knew God, they wouldn't glorify Him. Then they become unthankful, and then that stair step starts. I think whatever I can do to stay thankful is spiritually healthy. I need to cultivate it all the time. Thank you, Lord, for the car. Thank you, Lord, for I walked through this building. Thank you, Lord, the building's paid for. We don't have a mortgage payment. All we have is an elect. Thank you, Lord, for the air cleaners. Thank you, Lord, for we're blessed. Amen. I pull on this property. We got 10 acres. I know. Yep. Seven of it. We mow. But we have a very nice piece of property here. I don't want to take it for granted. You know how many people, Brother Ross, all the special speakers we have here, they go, what a beautiful church this is. I say, the Lord's really helped us. The Lord's blessed us. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to lose my thankfulness. If I'm not careful, I'll get critical. Because when I come on the property, I'll go, oh, that needs to be fixed. And that needs to be fixed. And ooh, we need to redo that. And yeah, we need to do... Greg Nash, you better thank God for what He's given you. You're never done tweaking stuff. Everything, nothing ever, is, you understand? Nothing is perfect. So why don't you thank God for what you have? Do you ever walk through your house and say, thank you, Lord, for my home? Do you ever talk to somebody that their house burns down? I've never talked to anybody that expected it. It always happens in a flash. And everything's gone. Thank you, Lord. My wife and I have never been in a house fire. I thank the Lord. For, we might be next week, but right now, yeah, don't talk that way. We have a wood stove in our house. I think about that. Lord, you sure have been gracious to us. Our house is, I've never been in a house fire. God's been good. I have a lot to praise God for. Miss Ray had her house burned last year, right? Burned to the ground. Horrible. I'm just saying, Christian, make yourself thank God. Don't take things for granted. Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 9. We'll close with just two more places tonight. Luke chapter 9. I remember an old preacher preaching and he said, it's easy to be thankful for the bonus, but it takes character to be thankful for your paycheck every week. Anybody can thank God for the Christmas bonus. Can you thank God for what He gives you every week? That's character. I remember when Pastor Owens bought his house in Martinsburg there, and it was a beautiful drive to his house. And I remember him saying, we've never lived this far out in the country. What a beautiful place the Lord's giving us. He said, by character, I thank the Lord every day to and from work for the beautiful drive. I make myself do it. I don't ever want to not thank God. That let me know it's a character issue. It's a decision issue. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You're going to follow me? Jesus didn't own a home the whole time he was here. I love this thought. If you have a house, you have more than Jesus had while he was here on this earth. I had, God's given me more than he let his son have while he was here to suffer for my sins. I'm blessed. Amen. If you're thinking tonight, well, you know, yeah, I think so-and-so does need to thank me. I think you've missed the whole sermon. Okay? Someone thanking you is not near as important as you thanking someone else. God didn't make, okay, let's end this with Psalm chapter 50. Go right in the middle of your Bible to Psalm 50. Psalm chapter 50. And look at verse number 14. Ready? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Watch, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God didn't make you to get glory. God made you to give glory to him. And do you know when you're the happiest in life? When you're thankful. When you're grateful. And if you don't work at it, you're not thankful. This week, I think every week you ought to be thankful. But this week is supposed to be Thanksgiving week, you know, and Thursday and Tuesday night, I'm going to give you something. I promise you, it'll bless your gizzard. It'll bless your heart. It'll help you this week. It helps. If nobody's here and I'm the only one and my wife, I'm going to have a ball. Amen. But this week, as we focus on Thanksgiving, I hope when you sit down at the table, I hope you make yourself be thankful. You don't take things for granted, because that's when you're the happiest. And that's when you're the most joyful as a Christian. Be in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It'll help you so much. It helps me. I've got to work at it, and I don't want to lose my gratitude. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth tonight. And Lord, I know as we focus on this week, yet Lord, it sure would help us to just...